Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
This is Patricia Lull. I serve as the bishop in the St. Paul Area Synod, and I want to speak about vocation, but vocation particularly in a time of resistance, vocation that draws us into a public witness, often standing against mainstream values and trends. No doubt you recognize the concept of vocation. We grow up hearing it. The way I like to think about it is that vocation is a way of describing our life's deep purpose. And the truth is, everyone has a vocation unique to them. Each one of us has relationships through which we live out our deepest values and identity. And that's the sense of vocation that I have in mind for this podcast. The public witness Joan Chittister, who is a Benedictine nun, has described three ways, three main questions that we face over a lifetime. Often in this order, but really at any point in our life, three questions that we come back to. The first is, what am I going to do with my life? Many of us who are adults can remember we had ideas when we were 4 years old or 8 years old or 12 years old, and often we look back at those early thoughts about what we would do when we grew up and we laugh at ourselves, but sometimes they also bear hints of the vocation that is unfolding in us. So the first question is, what am I going to do with my life? A second question that we can ask at any point, but often we ask in a fresh way at midlife, according to Chittister, is the question, who am I? Who am I really? And then a third question that she suggests we ask as we enter our 60s, as we look ahead to retirement, that we think for our elder chapter, what will be our legacy? What do I really want to spend the rest of my life being about? At the same time that we might often think of careers and jobs and the hardy work we do, vocation is really much more than our job. The theologian Nora Tubbs Tisdale does a fine job of describing this more expanded version of vocation, a different understanding. She writes in this way, there are a lot of people today who, like those fishermen of old in the Bible, live out the heart of their Christian vocations, not primarily through their jobs, but by following Jesus in spheres of service outside the workplace. Perhaps you know the way that might apply to your own life. But she goes on to say this about our primary vocation. Nevertheless, this primary vocation, the calling to love and serve and follow Christ, can also transform how we see our everyday jobs. Sometimes even the most boring and repetitive jobs can become an arena for Christian service if we are open to hearing the voice of God guiding and showing us how to use our gifts right where we are. And she concludes in this way. To me, one of the great gifts of the Christian life can be summed up this way. No matter where we find ourselves, we have a vocation that has been given to us by God and confirmed for us in our baptisms. We are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And because that vocation is God-given, there is nothing in this world with all its injustice, unfairness, and inequality that can take it away. So a deep and profound sense of vocation, always with local implications, and a concept of vocation large enough to embrace every one of our lives. During the short course, which was offered in the summer of 2017 at Holden Village, we also talked together about what it means to live in this more unraveled or unraveling time. Across the country, people are polarized, and much of our language toward one another is mean-spirited. We are as likely to shout at one another or simply be silent rather than engaging those with whom we disagree. All of that reminds me of one of the great biblical call stories, and that's the call of Jonah. It's a phenomenal story found in the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament. In the text of Jonah, God calls Jonah to go to a foreign city, the city of Nineveh, which was a great city in the empire in those days. And Jonah's task, his assignment he's given, is to call the city back to obedience to the living God. Now, that may sound pretty simple if you are a prophet, as Jonah was a prophet. But as we discovered in our group discussions, Jonah resists that call for a very good reason. Because from anything he can see, it would be impossible, deadly, futile to go tell the emperor, the empire, the opposition, that everyone needed to repent and worship Jonah's living God. Now, it turns out, by the end of the account of Jonah, the great city did repent, but you have to read the whole book to find out how the story worked out. In the first verses, Jonah says no to God's call, and in his own personal resistance, he tries every which way to run away from God. Have any of us ever done that? Fled a difficult conversation? Avoided taking a public stance knowing that we would likely be criticized, maybe even by people we care very much about for our public stance? Have any of us ever feared, been afraid of being the outlier with a different perspective and not going along with our circle of family and friends? Well, we know how it is with God. God does promise to be with us in times of vulnerability and even the most solitary witness to the truth and to God's grace and mercy. God does give us the courage to engage our neighbors, including those with whom we disagree. God even gives us grace enough to admit we're wrong about some things, and to be open to changing our own minds and our own opinions and our own certainties. Each of those aspects of our relationship with God are so essential for living out our faith today in the public realm. Scholar and theologian Miroslav Volf has proposed a way for Christians to be engaged in public life. In short, he argues that the deep faith in me makes room for the deep faith in others. Think about that in your own life. The more confident you are of your identity as a person of faith, you don't have to be defensive. You don't have to be on the attack in the presence of other people. You can simply be curious about the deep faith that is in them. Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, Hindu, Native, Indigenous faith, all are part of the American landscape these days. Wolf writes in this way, "When it comes to life in the world, to follow Christ means to care for others as well as to care for oneself and to work toward their flourishing, so that life would go well for all and so that all would learn how to live their lives well. A vision for human flourishing and the common good is the main thing that Christian faith brings into the public debate. But he carries that even further, for he continues to say, since the world is God's creation, and since the Word came to his own, even if God's own did not accept him, the proper stance of Christians toward the larger culture cannot be one of unmitigated opposition or whole-scale transformation. A much more complex attitude is required, that of accepting, rejecting, learning from, transforming, and subverting or putting to better use various elements of an internally differentiated and rapidly changing culture. Well, that's a lot to think about. But each one of us, and all of us together, we have some work to do. I want to name three challenges for you as you reflect on your own sense of vocation and your deepest identity as a person of faith, or at least a person of goodwill in our world. The first task is to reflect on the power of faith at work within you, and every day draw courage and hope from that. We don't have to have all the answers, each one of us individually. We can count on the fact that God is at work in and through us. Secondly, I challenge you to venture into at least one local concern, something that matters deeply to you in your neighborhood, in your town, in your community. You don't need to have all the answers, all the fixes, but you need to show up in the public sphere and join the wider conversation. That's part of what it means to live out our vocation in a time of resistance. And then third, to trust that God is making something new in you and around you and beyond you and through you for the flourishing of all people. Thank you for beginning to think about your own sense of vocation, your own deep faith, and what it means to live that out in a public way these days.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.